from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back in our insider, our King's Insider from the Insiders, James Hamm here with us. Hammer, what's happening, man?
Well, not a whole lot. You know, we're in the dog days of summer at this point. So we did see, I don't know if you guys, while you were on the air, Sasha Vezenkov decided to go back to Europe officially.
Yeah.
And literally paid $6 million to do it, which is wild.
Yeah,
or gave up $6 million to do it. That's pretty crazy.
I'm going to need my money, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. That was crazy. I'm surprised he didn't have to pay any of his money back. You know, I'm that he was able to, that he didn't get any money for leaving at all. That to me was very surprising. But it is what it is. I hope he's happy over there. Certainly that's where, you know, like he's a star there, and it makes more sense for him to be there than for him to be here in the NBA as a role player, whether it's in Sacramento or Toronto or somewhere else.
And it's also interesting too. I thought Sasha was a fine NBA player, you know, before he even really got a chance to get a grasp of the league and everything else like that. He was fine. Like he's a guy, like, I don't believe Sasha got played out of the league. Like he came here and it's like, oh, this is just too much. Like he can't compete here. I don't think that was the case. He got hurt. I don't know if he always got the best playing time opportunity from Mike Brown. And then it just kind of snowballed, man. So it's interesting that he's just gone after a year. I didn't look at him and think like, oh, he's not cut out to be in the league.
Yeah, I thought he was an NBA player as well. Like whether he deserved 15 minutes or 12 minutes or 22 minutes, I don't know what. You'd have to, it would, you know, definitely help him to be in a different situation where he had longer, more athletic players around him, as opposed to just like as a catch and shoot player. But yeah, I wish him the best. I hope it works out in Olympiakos in Greece for him. But again, sometimes it's just, you just pull the plug on something that you know isn't going to work for you. And to me, it does make sense for him to go back and just be a star where you're comfortable and have a good time. Mm-hmm. You know, live the good life there as opposed to struggling here and all the travel and everything else. It's something I think that people miss, that like European, like let's say you play in the EPL, right, the English Premier League, like you might travel like an hour on a bus ride, 2 hours on a bus ride. Even if you went to go play in a different country, you know, it takes 45 minutes to get from England to France or to Spain. Even going all the way to Rome, it might be like an hour and 20 minute flight from England. When you get here and all of a sudden you're doing an 82 game trip around the world, basically in the United States, it's so much more travel. It's so much more wear and tear on you. And so even that, like, I know he was lonely here, and so it makes sense for me for him to go and go back where he's comfortable.
Do you remember what he was making over there? It's like it was.
Yeah, I think he $2 million.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I would have gutted it out for a year. Hey, it's Toronto. I'm good for a year.
Yeah, I'm gonna just have to, you know, I just got to do what I got to do for this bag.
Yeah, that's $6 million and some change, man. That's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough. I remember Mike Bibby left. Was it the Knicks? Maybe it was Atlanta. He had a buyout in which he didn't take anything. He just wanted to leave left like $8 million.
See, both of those situations are more egregious than Jalen Brunson.
Oh.
No, like, no. Yeah. Give me the $6 million.
Yeah, because there's no hope those guys are getting that money back. Yeah. Though in the EuroLeague, Sasha could probably play for like 10 more years.
True.
He could be the LeBron of his league and play till he's 40.
Well, he certainly could string together a couple of years of MVP caliber play. And again, he'll be a star. You know, like when we watched him play, like building up to when he came over, you know, like they go to the European Championships. He's playing in like Spain or something. And again, consider the travel differences. That's huge. But also, like, you're living a good life there. Everything is much like more compact, and it's something that, you know, I think people who travel a lot, they realize that the U.S. is gigantic. It's just huge. Mm-hmm. And so to go from one coast to the next, just remember the Kings had that one trip where it was like, they went to Atlanta. Well, I think they went to like Orlando and then Atlanta and then like Charlotte and then stopped in the middle of the country on the way home and then came back. And over like a 6-day stretch, they traveled like, I don't know, like 7,000 miles. Mm. Like it is just the rigors of it are much more difficult. I don't begrudge the guy for wanting to go home where, again, he instantly walks in the door and everybody is going to be so excited over the moon that he's back. And as opposed to here, it would have been like, oh, okay, Sasha's still on the roster. Mm. And, you know, so I think being embraced and all that stuff is probably a big deal for him and good for him.
Speaking of guys who didn't have the best year last year, what's your thoughts on Kevin Huerter right now? We were talking about him earlier with Will Z as he wrote something up on SI.com about Kevin. And just with it seeming like free agency moves, things like that are kind of settling down right now and a true off season may begin a little bit where things just kind of go quiet. What is your opinion on Kevin Huerter heading into his third season, at least for now with Sacramento?
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how they handle him. Where does he play? What position do they think he is? Is he your starting shooting guard? I mean, there's always that potential for him to walk right back into a starting shooting guard role with Malik Monk coming off the bench and even, you know, Keon Ellis coming in and playing some backup one. Like, we don't know what his role is going to be. But I'll tell you that, like, when I had conversations at the end of the season, there was a quiet, like, hey, he had a bad season. And it wasn't even that bad. It was just bad compared to what he did the year before. Mm-hmm. And so we think he can get back on the right path, and we think he can find himself. And we also think that he's, like, a big part of what we do. I was getting a lot of that from inside the walls. And so maybe they do just, like, feel like, you know, if you had to lose one of them, between him and Harrison Barnes, you would choose to lose the guy who's in his 30s and not the guy who's, you know, 25, 26 years old. And so that makes sense from like an age standpoint. But also, you know, I think there is value to a guy who can play the two and the three, who's, you know, 6'7" and doesn't have a huge like height disparity when he moves over to the three. And, you know, if you're going to bring in a guy like DeMar DeRozan and, you do need more shooting, you know. DeRozan isn't a natural 3-point shooter, so you would, you know, want to pair him with as many elite shooters as you can. And so it could make a lot of sense here, but I also think, you know, the Kings are leaving a door open for a trade down the road too, because, you know, he's got 2 years left on his deal. It's 17 and 18 million-ish over the next 2 years. And you basically, if it doesn't work out, if he doesn't come back and have just a knockdown, you know, 3-point shooting season to start the year, maybe he is a player that you look to move off of midway through the year, and you always have that contract sort of as a placeholder.
And that's what I'm starting to think as well with this team. Like, I kind of feel like what you reported, I believe, was 100% accurate, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that they were still looking to make moves. And I kind of feel like they looked, they saw what was out there, and there wasn't anything maybe that they felt like they needed to pull the trigger on right now. And I think maybe the game plan might be, let's just start the season like this. And we have, you know, Kevin Huerter or maybe future picks to use if we feel like we need to make a move in season. But as the roster is, let's see what we can do with this roster and then move accordingly. There's no rush to do anything right now.
Yeah, I mean, I get that there is no like major rush to go do something as of right now. But then again, I mean, you do still have the same problems that you had last year. And, you know, you can't avoid the fact that the Kings still don't have the length and athleticism that they need at the 3 and the 4. And you can say, well, you know, you got some of that covered with DeRozan, but again, 6'6". And you can say, well, you know, Jalen McDaniels, like, he could have a bounce back season and be better than he was last year, where he couldn't get off the bench in Toronto. But there's nothing that's guaranteed that he's going to step in and be a rotational piece for you. And so you need more of that, of those types of players, and you need higher end versions of that type of player than McDaniels, for sure. So I'm intrigued to see how it all plays out in the end. But, you know, again, I don't think having good players on your team isn't a bad thing, you know, and I still think like Kevin Huerter is a good player. And, you know, you added another piece in DeMar DeRozan, like a really good player, but you're always going to be like wondering, like, how are you going to match up against New Orleans again? How are you going to match up against Minnesota? Like these teams with these super long athletic threes and fours and even fives that can go out and stretch the floor. And the answer is, as of right now, you don't match up perfectly with them, and you might need to have some of those pieces, whether it's like a smaller move right now to add in somebody else, or it's a bigger move down the road.
Do you think that they're maybe looking at it like we're going to top teams with like our style? Like, we're not going to try to match length for length with everybody or strength for strength with everybody. Like, we're going to have a style that is unique to us, kind of similar to the first year of this Beam team, but hopefully on a grander scale now. That just like, no, we're not going to be forced to play your way. You're going to be forced to play ours.
Yeah, it's good in theory, and that works against a lot of teams. It does, but in a 7-game series, that doesn't always work.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. I mean, you got to figure out how to manage it all. Like, you know, it's still a glaring weakness. The Kings don't have. I mean, you can say Alex Lynn is your rim protector, but I mean, as of today, Alex Lynn has to play minutes for this team. You know, last year, Alex Lynn didn't have to play minutes. Like, you know, Alex has had a long history of injury, but he's been pretty solid since he joined the Kings. But they had, you know, they had other options there. They had JaVale McGee. And at this point, you don't have that other piece that might be able to help you. And even if you look at the power forward position, like, Keegan Murray truly isn't like a standard, you know, run of the mill power forward. He's a 3-4 or maybe a 4-3. I'm not sure which. So the really only true power forward you have on this roster is Trey Lyles. And so again, Trey isn't a long super athlete, and you keep running into this issue that you don't have your rim protection. And even if you do, you might not have that rim protection that's going to play in a standard rotation where he's playing more than like, you know, 10 or 12 minutes a game.
But I would say this, though, to him, isn't the league kind of moving away from that traditional power forward that we think of? A lot of these teams that are playing, that four is out on the perimeter now. You know what I mean? That's the stretch four. That's you go down the list of the teams that were successful this past year, you know, Boston has, I don't know, sometimes Tatum would probably be at the four if Holiday and Derek White are on the floor at the same time. Dallas, who knows what they were doing at the four. You know, PJ Washington, you know, maybe would be there for. OKC, they've added Hartenstein, but that's also probably going to move Holmgren, who's a little bit of a – I'm not – understand what I'm saying, like a softer big man. Like, he's not this big bruising four. He's more of a finesse type of four. So that's kind of where they're going. You know what I mean? And you've got a Keegan Murray. It kind of fits in. Even the guy that everybody really wants, Lauri Markkanen, is more of a finesse perimeter type power forward. So doesn't it seem like they're well equipped for kind of the way basketball's being played right now in the NBA?
Well, I would say yes, if you just look at that, the fact that some of those guys are finesse guys versus traditional power forwards. But I would also point out that, you know, there's a big difference between Chet Holmgren at 7 foot tall and you know, Evan Mobley at almost 7 foot tall, and just keep going down the list of players that are long and super athletic that are playing that traditional four at this point. So while they aren't, they might not be, you know, like guys who are bruisers, they're still legitimate, you know, 7 footers or close to it, with 7'2", 7'3" wingspans. And you don't have one of those guys. And your center is not one of those guys either. You know, like Demonis is, I wouldn't call him an undersized center so much as I would, he's just not like a long, super athletic shot blocking center. And I think Domas is a much better defender than people give him credit for. I mean, like, the advanced stats say he's a much better defender. But that still doesn't mean that you don't need that other guy who can block shots, or that can either block shots or space the floor at, like, a really, really high level.
Casey brought him up. You think Markkanen gets traded?
No. No, I think Danny Ainge does this mess all the time. I think we're going to get, what is it, August 6th? We'll find out if... that's the one day where he can sign a contract extension and still get traded by a trade deadline. So as soon as he's eligible for an extension, if they sign him that day, it's 6 months from that he can be traded. If he doesn't sign on that day, then like, things are going to get dicey for
Utah. And that's because it's post-trade deadline, right? Like, if he doesn't sign August 6th, then
yeah,
the trade deadline has passed on the set, and he can't be moved.
Yeah, exactly. So his value plummets. His value goes to an expiring contract that you're renting, who you would at least have Larry Bird rights to if you traded for. But again, it's a tough thing. You're going to have to wait until the end of the season to try to retain him if you're a team that goes out and trades for him. I'm going to guess that Markkanen doesn't get traded. That's just my own personal thing. You know, Danny Ainge loves him. And for a good reason. Like, he's a very good player. But again, when we're talking about, like, traditional power forwards versus non-traditional power forwards, Lauri Markkanen's, like, 7 foot tall at least, and super athletic, and can play off the bounce and do all kinds of things. Again, like, I if I'm the Kings, you're okay with Keegan Murray matching up against him, but then you're going to run out of players that can match up against athletic small forwards and everything else. That's just a tough defensive assignment for anybody, let alone somebody who's giving up like 4 inches in height at a minimum, and maybe a couple inches in wingspan as well.
The whole thing with Lauri Markkanen in Utah, in my opinion, was more of Danny Ainge saying, I don't really have any plans of trading him. Like, I'll re-sign him and we'll figure it out later. But if somebody gives me, he's not untradeable. Like, if somebody gives me something that I just can't refuse, then yeah, we can make that happen. But mind you, I'm only doing that for offers that I can't refuse. It's not just a good offer. It's got to be one that blows me away. And if I don't get that, I'm perfectly fine re-signing him, and he'll be on under club control, and he can either stay here and be part of the rebuild, or, you know, if we feel we need to move them, we could always move them later. But I never felt like, while there was discussions had, I don't know if he seriously was ever ready to move them with it, with just a good offer. It needed to be the offer.
Hmm. Well, you also, there's a couple more issues with marketing in general. First of all, like, you know, on the King's Beat podcast, my buddy Sean Cunningham is like, he's talked to a ton of people on this exact subject, and he's under the impression that him and his group, his people, they want a true free agency for Lurie. Hmm. That they're wanting to go out and test the free agent market next summer. And that goes for Utah too. So Danny Ainge might be playing a big game of cat and mouse here, but you could trade for him and then lose him for nothing in this offseason. And that's a big, big risk because, you know, again, we can like kind of like fish around and figure out what it is that that New Orleans has been looking for Brandon Ingram, or, you know, you can, you know, we kind of have an idea of if you were going to get Kyle Kuzma, that they probably at this point, they want 2 first-round picks, but you got to try to work around that and maybe not get him for that much. But what Utah's asking for is, you know, 3 first-round picks, a really good young player and multiple pick swaps. And you could do all of that, and then next summer he could leave. And not only could he leave, he could go back to Utah and sign a long-term contract there if they have cap space, which I'm sure they do. And so you're kind of in like a really odd situation with him. And it's kind of the same with Brandon Ingram because he's on a one-year expiring deal. But I think Brandon is more willing to listen if the money is right to, you know, for an extension, where I think Lurie is someone who really does want to go out and at least experience free agency again.
The Kings' interest in marketing was very genuine. Do you think the interest in Brandon Ingram was genuine? Do you think like they really wanted Brandon Ingram on this team?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's split. There are some people within the walls that love Brandon Ingram and some that don't. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody fears what Ingram wants in an extension, and it's kind of this
pretty
same
clear
thing. Like
it's public, like it's out there. I don't think that 205 number sways. Like that's the number that he wants.
Well, that's the number he wants, but is he going to get that number anywhere? Yeah. And that's the problem. I mean, you can say, hey, I didn't think OG Anunoby was going to get that number. Ooh. And sure enough, there he went and he got what, 230, something like that. And that's got to scare you, because if you make that move, you're instantly over the second apron, and your lottery, your draft pick in 2000, well, it'll be probably 2032 or 2033 at whatever point when you have to pay him, that's locked up. And, you know, if you're a repeat offender, you might lose that pick eventually. Like it's just a mess. Hmm. And so you have to be super cautious with how you handle this, because what you don't want to do is not, you know, like no one wants to trade Keegan Murray in order to get one of these players. Right. But what you don't want to do is trade for one of those players, have to pay that player, and then have to lose Keegan Murray down the road because you can't pay him. Hmm. And these are, you know, that's the problem. If you've got DeRozan under contract at 24, 25, 26 million over the next 3 years, and you've got De'Aaron Fox on an escalating contract, like, last time I checked, De'Aaron Fox hasn't like gone out publicly and said he would take a huge extension, but for way less money. Like what's his name with the Knicks did?
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, what Jalen Brunson did, mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that he should. I'm just saying that like the Kings aren't in that situation. Sabonis is going to make 40 plus million the next 4 years, so eventually you run out of cap space. It doesn't matter how much the salary cap rises. It's only going up 10% a year. And just in your annual raises with most players is 8%. You're going to lose that money. You know, so it's not like a big balloon is coming where all of a sudden the salary cap goes up 30 million in a year and you would be okay. You're going to have to manage your money very closely. Especially again with a guy like Malik Monk under contract for 18 million, and then 19 and 20 and 21 million. I mean, you already have your money kind of set out.
Well, and it also becomes one of those things though, where you're, you may be willing to spend whatever you need to spend if it's worth the check, right? And what I mean by that is if the Kings are, you know, losing the Western Conference Finals in six games and then De'Aaron Fox's contract is up and Keegan Murray's contract, yeah, you pay it because you're on the doorstep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But if they lose in the first round, then you think twice about paying that bill, that second
the Warriors
bill or anything else like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that and, I mean, like, even if you are good and you find a way to be, you know, great like the Warriors were, right? You're still not making the money that the Warriors are making in the Bay Area. You can't charge that same dollar amount in Sacramento. You can come close to it, but I mean, that right there is multi-billionaire money that the Warriors have done, where they've basically, what was their cap figure, their luxury tax figure was like $174 million this year or something. Mm-hmm. Just between salary and luxury tax, they paid almost $400 million out the mm-hmm. door. And the Kings paid like $144 million. Like, it's that much of a disparity. And so I get it. You know, there's even as of right now, like the Kings are under the luxury tax. They're under the luxury tax because in order to go over the luxury tax, you don't just give up the money and then have to pay a little bit of luxury money. You also give up the ability to get the luxury check on the back end. And so for right now, like, I don't blame them. If there's a move that puts them over the top and they can either trade to make it like a net neutral trade where they have 17 or 18 million going out and some money coming back. I mean, that's one way, but if you're going to make a move where you're taking on a huge, huge amount of salary, you got to make sure that it's worth it. You know, if you're going to go with the luxury tax by $10 million and you're going to end up paying, I don't know, like $13 million in luxury tax or $14 million in luxury tax on top of a higher salary that you're paying because you brought that player in. So now you're out like $24-25 million. And then on top of that, you don't get any of the revenue sharing for the luxury tax. You're out another $12 million. So, you know, going again, like $12 million over the cap is going to cost you basically $36 million versus being at the cap. And that's a lot of money.
James Hamm of The Insider is with us. We'll come back. We'll talk more about your Sacramento Kings here with Dylan McKay on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, we're about to blow it all up here at Odyssey Sacramento. It's all bad over here, James. We're starting fights with everybody. We're picking a fight with the one lady you don't pick a fight with because she's mean and she'll end you.
I just don't know what happened. That's all I'm saying.
That's like, explain to me.
I think it might be we took the third, the fourth, and the fifth.
That does not apply to us, James.
Yeah.
I could take as many days as I want to off. You better have my money. Yeah, none of that applies to us.
That's funny.
Yeah, we are not Sasha in this thing to nobody. Give me our money. James Hamm here back with us. We're talking Kings basketball. We talked a little bit about Kevin Huerter. Let me ask you this. Summer League's wrapped up. Do you put any stock, or let me rephrase that question. Why do you think Keon Ellis played like all the way till Wednesday?
I think part of it is player wants to play. Part of it is you're still trying to maybe make the tournament, like to get to play a little bit more, and maybe play for something, which, you know, really realistically the first game they lost, that pretty much ended everything you're doing there. But there's also, it always comes to a point where you need to allow the guys that aren't on the roster to kind of show you what they have and let them put their stamp on whatever it is. Plus you want a guy like Colby Jones to take on more. You want a guy like Mason Jones to take on more. And so those guys are, you know, they're part of a group in the beginning, but as you get deeper and deeper in the summer league, you're like, all right, can you separate yourself in this setting when it's you and like one other guy that are sort of our guys, where Keon Ellis is, you know, sort of the main focal point early on. I think it's great for Keon to be there. You know, again, we're talking about it. He started games last year and everyone got all excited about him, but we're also talking about a guy that midway through the season was on a two-way contract. And so, you guys got people coming
in. No, we do. It's like, this is very much a live radio show. We're on for it. Just come in. For God's sakes, just open the door. It's far more distracting with you standing outside the window. God damn. Black Bottles! What up, baby?
What up, boy?
Black Label Ben here.
Come on, man. Let's do it, boy. I appreciate you, family.
We
celebrate
our boy Ben here. What up, boy?
Liquor.
What up? Let's go. Yeah, man. Shout out.
Ben coming here looking like Lou Ferrigno. My God.
Ben here looking like Randy Orton.
Stacy almost walked in here, too. Boy, are you here to see? What are you here?
I heard some on Friday.
Okay. Yeah. All right, my man. Black Label. Hey, you got to be here for the 1,000th show. Absolutely. August, I'll send you all the information. Okay, August 21st.
Cool.
You got to be here for the 1,000th show.
I'm in for that.
Yeah.
Smooth. Look at him, man. Yeah, like, boy, showing boy, all the guns. Man, boy, the gun show's crazy
boy
right now.
Boy, creatine for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
Good workouts. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Right, God damn, I need to work harder. Jesus Christ, Ben is a monster. This is great. They walk by and Alyssa's like, hey, can we come in for a second? And I'm like, no, like we're, and then Ben walks over. And so what they do is they stand. So I'm going to hit this for the people watching. They
move my camera.
They stand right there at the window. which is 10 times more distracting than just letting them walk in. Like, what if
you guys are like a couple of puppies at a pet store? They're just in there looking at you like trying to.
This is
you,
legitimately, you know, the most ridiculous show in the history of radio. Like, no, hey, can we come in? Is it cool? Like now? Okay. No, it's fine. It's fine. I don't even know what James was talking about at this point, because I'm trying to subtly like, like, no. And it's not working because Ben comes over and now James is distracted.
At least they didn't put a meeting at 12:30.
I apologize for our lack of professionalism.
There you go.
That was family, though. That was family.
That is family. That is family.
Oh, yeah. He's a good dude. Yeah.
Ben is, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this dude is. He looked like, man, he's about to like do a UFC or boxing fight, like the weight cut and
absolutely
being shredded, like it's crazy. Right,
hey,
now.
And ain't no dad weight with him.
No,
they just had
he
number
me,
two.
Yeah, he got me feeling crazy. I
you
step my game up.
I don't have any, and I'm like, all right, well, all right, you getting up at 4 a.m. I'm getting up at 3:30 then.
That's what I have to do. That's what's gonna have to be done. Wow.
What now? Yeah. What were we talking about?
No, he was talking about Keon still playing. And
oh, Keon still. James tried to answer. So just dump all of that. Just hit the green. Just hit the red button. So Keon Ellis, there was a, you might not have caught this in your world travels. I don't remember what game it was, but Monty spoke at some, Monty went to the
Jazz game.
He went to the broadcast table. Matters. It was the Jazz game. That's right. Yeah. And he sat in with the announce team, and he just had this line about Keon stepped in, you know, while other guys went out and played well for us. And I've harped on that line for 2 weeks now, because it just sounded like, yeah, Monty didn't sound like he was describing a guy who's his starting two moving forward. Hmm. It sounded like he described a guy who maybe did some things they didn't expect and they were very happy with. And he probably has a spot on the team, a spot in the rotation, but we've got some things to figure out. And I've admitted I'm probably overreacting to that one little line, but man, that combined with the fact it feels like he played a lot more summer league than we thought he would, has brought into like the conversation, well, I think a lot of us expect Malik Monk to start. I don't think it's inconceivable that Kevin Herter starts. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that position is wide open. Honestly, I do. I think it's wide open. And, you know, we can pontificate on who we think is the best person to start at that position. But at the end of the day, it's going to really come down to what Mike feels, what his combination of players are, how comfortable he feels with Keon, you know, as a starter, whether he thinks he can hold up and hit the three at a 40% clip like he did last year. Like, look, if Keon Ellis goes out and plays like he did last year, it will all take care of itself, because he was really good. Mm-hmm. He was very, very good for the Kings last year. And you basically can, if he can average 10, 11, 12 points per game, he can knock down 40 to 42% from three, and he can play outstanding defense. He's probably going to be your starting shooting guard, and he's going to play, you know, 24 to 30 minutes a night, and then you're going to figure out everything else. Mm-hmm. But there's also the possibility that, you know, he's just not ready for that. The fact that he was able to show it last year, that's fine. But no one in the NBA game planned for him even one game. Mm. They didn't. And so what happens when they do? What happens when attention is on him? What happens when, again, you have two starters in your rotation in Domantas Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan who don't shoot the three ball? Mm. Like, they can hit it, but they don't shoot enough, and they don't shoot at the highest clip all the time. And it's not consistent where you're getting four or five a game from those guys. You're going to need people like Keon that sit there and knock down threes. You're also going to need people like Kevin Herter who hit the three at a high clip. And so I don't know how it's all going to work out at the end of the day. But for me, if you're adding a 24 point score to your starting lineup, and you also hope that, a guy like Keegan Murray is going to take a step up and actually average more than he did last year and start to develop into the player that you want. You can't have five guys averaging 20 points per game in your starting lineup. And so somebody's got to be out there that's playing defense and doing all the dirty work and hitting spot threes. And that guy sure does look like it's Keon Ellis to me, as opposed to, like, you know, five guys fighting over a ball in the starting lineup. So I'm intrigued, but like Keon playing in summer league, hey, like he was on a two-way contract midway through the season. Mm. Like this is a guy who's just come on and you like what he's doing, but that doesn't mean he doesn't need more, like, you know, maturing and more time on the court with whoever it is. I think it's good that when you go to summer league and you're a player like Keon, you got to be more than you are with a regular team. And some of your weaknesses get exposed and you got to really fight to get through those weaknesses. That's a good thing for a young player. And, you know, it's the same reason the Kings brought Keegan Murray to summer league last year, to get him out there, have him stretch his legs and to play a different role than what he's comfortable playing and force him to now get done in mid-July. And now you got like 2 months to really work on what it is that you weren't good at and to get better before we start training camp and you start, you know, now you have a new perspective on what it means to go out there and play major minutes at the NBA level.
See what James said at the beginning of that, which was spot on, but it's the thinking that I think Monty McNair and the coaching staff may have too. Like, yeah, Keon did really good in that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's, I'm not sure he'd be able to do that when people are game planning. I'm not sure he'd be able to do that, you know, on a night by night basis or whatever the case may be. So it may be a situation where if he wants to be in that starting role, he's got to show something and maybe prove himself again, whenever that is, whether that's in training camp, whether that's 20 games into the season, whether that's, you know, after the trade deadline or whatever. But I think the reason why it stuck out and why that was a very sound observation by you, and because it kind of flies in the face of what the general public is thinking, like, no, there is nothing left to prove. Keon should be the starter. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, well, we liked what he did last night, but there's still some things we want to see from him before he gets to that point. And like I said, I don't know when that could be 2 weeks of training camp and they'll see what they want to see. And maybe he's the starter on opening night.
We don't even know if Mike would have made that move.
Right.
Like Kevin Herter's injury made the move for Mike. Mm-hmm. And so had Kevin Herter stayed healthy and things kind of just being the way that they were, mm-hmm. and Mike makes the move. That might tell us a different story going into this offseason.
Right.
Mike never had to make it.
Right.
Well, that, and you got to remember, too, that early in the season when Keon got his first opportunity, it was because Chris Duarte either got hurt or wasn't playing well then.
Thank God that.
And you had moments where, you had the moment where De'Aaron Fox got hurt early in the season and he stepped aside and they needed Keon for those minutes. Like, look, I think we always talk about this. The basketball, the NBA world is about opportunity and taking advantage of it when you get it. Mm-hmm. And I would love to think that Keon Ellis did enough to earn at least an opportunity to battle for the starting job. And I think he did. But we're going to have to see it. And like, look, if you want to be a great team, you can't just say, okay, like no competition. We're just going to give something to a young player and see how it goes. Like you're fighting for minutes from the opening, not even like the opening of training camp. This team is going to get to, they're going to assemble in like the second week or third week of September. They're going to be playing one-on-one and five-on-fives. They're going to have games against each other nonstop, mm-hmm. where the coaching staff is looking at players and seeing, you know, what have they worked on? How much stronger have they gotten and all that stuff. And then you're going to have a much better idea of who you have in camp and how guys might work together. But at the end of the day, this is about, you know, finding the right combination of eight or nine guys to play together and find success. And I would hope that Keon has done enough to get into that conversation, but you never know.
Yeah. One thing. Monty, because you brought Chris Duarte's name came up, and I just feel like Monty has had a lot of misses. They're just really low risk misses, they don't matter.
Yeah.
But man, he's had a couple misses.
Yeah, but the number 9 pick in the NBA draft isn't a miss. I mean, that's not a low risk. Like you missed. That was a miss.
Wait a minute,
Davion.
Wait a minute. I don't really feel like Davion was a miss. I thought Davion played well last year. Well, Chris Duarte was a miss. Sasha was a miss. Those were you flew all. How much money did you spend flying everybody but James Hamm out to Olympia, wherever Sasha was?
Oh, Olympiacos, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. Mike comes back. Yeah, I don't even know if he's going to play. he said that like the second day of training camp. Like, Mike saw Sasha for one day. And it was like, oh. What the hell is
either
this?
Way, man, you got a player going into his fourth NBA season who's no longer on your roster and is not getting an extension. That, to it me, sucks. For a number 9 pick in the draft, that's a miss.
I understand.
So, like, and that's not to be, I think that Davion is a much better position for himself right now. I'm happy for Davion. I think he's in the right spot for him to go and flourish and find his NBA game. But, you know, I'm not going to, doesn't mean that Monty McNair didn't miss on that pick. Monty, whoever's pick that was.
Monty's still, he's still an all-star though. Like GM stuff and especially drafting is like baseball. What would you say Monty's? 2 for 3, Ben, 600.
Well, wait a minute.
You got Keegan.
You're talking about draft. Oh, you're talking about draft. Okay.
Or did Divadi get Tyrese?
Mm-hmm. No. Monty got Tyrese. No. That was his first.
Monty.
That was his first.
Okay.
I'm just making sure.
No, that was his first. That was
he leading the league in batting average.
All right, we'll settle that.
Well,
he has had
4 draft picks, and
I'm thinking first rounders. I'm just thinking first rounders.
Well, no, he just drafted another one. He's going to miss 6 to 8
months. Well, he hasn't come up to the plate yet.
And apparently his attitude sucks.
He's just in the batting order. He hasn't come up to the plate yet. We don't know if it's what it is.
Apparently he's a bit of a diva, too. So
we're hearing more?
I can't remember. Was the part that Trista said, hey, give me a drink, was that real?
I think it was real. Yeah,
we heard some unflattering things about Devin Carter at a party.
Probably just a bad
summer league. Maybe his pain meds had wore off and he was just a little fired up.
Was he in a sling? Did he already have?
Oh yeah.
Sling was definitely. Mm-hmm.
He's out here looking like just in case after field day. Tough. It's tough.
The one thing I wanted to mention though, while we were on the air, is on Friday, I think it was, I made a comparison to Bronny James and how he was playing to Boogie Ellis. And I was like, Boogie Ellis hadn't been hooping like that. And people were talking about that before the draft or whatever the case may be. Maybe he was listening. Because Boogie Ellis was hooping over the weekend, man. Salute to him. I'm glad to see it because I like the dude. I liked him at USC. And when I brought up the comparison, it wasn't ever to disparage him.
That's what it felt like.
It wasn't to disparage his my guy Boogie Ellis. Yeah, it was more so like, really kind of give these guys a little time because him and Bronny almost got the same trajectory. Like they started off slow and they got more time to get comfortable and they played well to close up summer league.
Well, and that's why you want to pull Keon Ellis in the last couple of games, because you need to know some of these young guys, like, do you want to draft them in the G League draft? Do you want to, maybe one of your two-way players that you already signed, you're not comfortable with them being a two-way. Maybe Mason Jones did enough to earn a roster spot, and you'll open up another two-way, and you can go give it to one of these young players.
Poor Mace. That turnover at the end of that close game where he just sat there face first on the floor. He thought his whole NBA career just got thrown out of bounds. I felt so bad
for
him.
We still believe in you, Mace. Come on, dog. I believe in you, bro.
He just knew
it. Ain't over.
I felt so bad for Mason Jones in those moments because was it a turnover or a missed shot that ultimately led?
He had a missed shot and then the turnover.
Oh, man.
But he did have the game tying shot before that. Mace, I'm going to still vouch for you, dog.
Nah, Mace, we ride with Mace, but get up, bro. The game's not over. They had to pull that poor kid off the ground. I felt so bad for him. Had the Kings. Who they did sign two-way guys. Did they sign two-way guys or summer league guys in after the draft?
No, they not signed summer two league, two-ways. G League Isaiah Crawford, and Isaac Jones.
Okay. Is that it?
Isaac Crawford and Isaiah Jones.
That's a good question.
I don't know. They had too many Joneses. That's all I know. Too many Joneses, too many Ellises.
Do they have two-way spots left?
It doesn't sound like it. If
as of right now, but you can waive two-way guys and pick up other two-way guys.
I like what I saw from Boogie Ellis's last year. Yeah. I mean, I liked him at USC. I was intrigued by him. He had a slow start to the summer, but the last two games, he defended with a level of ferocity. I don't know if he's like the tall enough to be the wing that everybody's thinking about, but he was trying to lock up.
I think he played really hard, and that's what you have to do when you're at summer league. You gotta show that you got the dog. You know that you're willing to go out there and do all the dirty work and dive for the loose balls and really just put it all out there and leave it on the court. And I think he did that as well as you can ask for.
Well, things will probably quiet down now here for a few weeks. The all summer league team has been named, and
well, summer league playoffs are tonight. Not for the Kings, but
that's great. And tell me
you
all
see
about
they getting
it.
A ring. I think they got a ring last year too, but they can.
Yeah, the ring started. Yeah,
that ring's a little. It's a little too much.
Why? Why do you hate everything?
That one's a little too much. Have you seen the ring? It almost looks like the Celtics ring. It's a little too much, man.
Well, then the Celtics need to do better in putting together their rings.
They are not finished yet. They still got to win the World Championship.
Well, when's that game being scheduled?
They still got a championship to win.
Yeah. What a joke.
NBA world champions of what? All right, man. Whatever you say.
Amazing.
It is.
Oh, man.
But we'll always find Kings conversations to have. That's what we do here. Happy birthday, bro.
Thank you, my man.
Yeah, dude.
For appreciate your birthday, you can stick around here for about 3 more hours to do another radio show. You can spend more
the gift
time.
Gift that keeps on giving.
You can spend more time with me.
It's a gift that keeps on giving the whole year long, Clark.
Is that King of the Hill?
No, that's I only know you said Clark. That's
that's Christmas Vacation.
Cousin Eddie.
Yeah, that's Cousin Eddie.
Yeah, the Jelly of the Month.
That's
Club.
Right. That's right. No, that was his bonus.
That's his bonus. See, look at that. Look at that. You guys got a reference. Hallelujah! It's happened.
He thought he was going to build a pool, and they gave him the Jelly of the Month. Yeah.
Pretty sure you laugh now. I'm pretty sure how Odyssey's going
to
pay us.
Wait a minute! That hit a little too close to home when I thought about it.
I just realized Stacy hasn't moved. She's literally been sitting right outside the studio since Ben left. She's coming for us. I got to go to the bathroom, and I'm scared to walk out the door.
Oh Lord!
Good luck with that.
She's going to peek over that computer, and it's going to be curtains. It's going to be a Jelly of the Month in lieu of payment. James, welcome back from Cabo, man. We're happy to have you back here. We're happy to have all of you back here with us. Make sure you stick around. What do we got coming up next? Are we running it back? We're running it back, just like old times. You want some more dealing with KC, talking sports? Stick around here. You want to head over to 102.5. We got Future and Metro Boomin tickets to give away.
That's right.
And I'm missing one. The show we're doing.
Khalid.
He's going to be at the venue, and we've got tickets for that as well. So head over to 102.5. You want to cop those. We'll run it back next on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.